So 50 years ago today, 20-some guys met in the Bronx to go for a fun run, the first run of the New York Roadrunners Club. Think back, this was before the 70s when jogging first went mainstream. To give you a sense of how much the New York Roadrunners Club and the sport of running have changed, the club held a 5-miler this morning in Central Park to celebrate its 50th anniversary, and almost 1,800 people ran it. We should mention, it's a very rainy day here in New York City. At 5:30 in the morning, these people went out to run this race. Among them, intrepid BPP producers Matt Martinez and Ian Chilog, and New York Roadrunner CEO Mary Wittenberg. Ian and Mary join us now in the studio. And Mary clearly looks like she went home and showered. You, not so much. Oh, and Matt's over there, too. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you?
Neither of you showered.
Can you smell me across the
table?
Well,
I was going to say, this is why we put Matt in his own glass enclosure.
Thank you.
Let's start with Ian and Matt. How'd the race treat you today, gentlemen?
It was good. I had a good time.
It was great. I mean, we woke up at our regular time, so, you know, it was fine.
It was all good. Yeah. And the rain, no deterrent?
Well, I have to say, it was like a tough morning to get out of bed and go for a run.
Yeah.
But a motivational tip to anybody out there, if you want to really get a good regime together, start a public radio show, announce that you're going to talk about running a race on the show. Then when you wake up and you're like, I don't want to get out of bed, you have to.
You have to go.
So that's what we did.
You have to go. And Mary, you were there as well.
I was. It was actually an ideal way to celebrate our 50th anniversary because we stood there in driving rain, in pitch dark. It was pitch dark, 5:30 in the morning, and yet all these people were out there. They had smiles on their faces, and they were just psyched to start their day celebrating our 50th and getting a good hard 5-miler in. So I think it really speaks to the day kind of in the end, and what the morning was really kind of just speaks to very much the core of what we are out there, rain or shine, and our runners are just there inspiring us every day.
Definitely.
And when all 1,800 of you are there, are you thinking to yourselves, oh, we're the normal ones? It's everyone else who thinks rainy on a 5:30 on a Wednesday, they've got problems?
What is wrong with all those people that are home in bed?
So let's talk about the significance of this day marking the 50th anniversary of this organization. All these people showed up this morning to mark this special day. Can you tell us about the guys who were around when they started it 50 years ago, though? Who were these fellows?
The contrast between then and today is just so dramatic. You know, June 4th, 1958, we had 20 hardcore, serious running guys, 19 Caucasian, one, the superstar of the group, an African-American, Ted Corbett, who became our first ever president. That was the extent of the diversity. They were all serious, serious runners. And, you know, today, here we are with a membership of 46,000. We have 300,000 people registered for our races last year. Over 105,000 signed up for the marathon today. And over close to half, certainly over 40% are women. Women were nowhere to be seen 50 years ago in the running space. And we have people from every walk of life, every race, every culture, and we're just a big melting pot of people of all paces as well.
But back in the day, runners were kind of considered a little bit fringe, right? How did people perceive runners? They looked at them kind of like they were a little bit bonkers?
They were. You know, it's funny. Today, running is practically part of pop culture and a way of life for many of us. Absolutely. It was the X Games of the 50s. They were the fringe guys. They were on the outer edges of life. And, you know, back in that time, if you think about it, people didn't even walk out of their houses without being fully dressed with their coat and their hat.
Yeah, really modest.
And these guys were walking around in white shirts and white shorts and looking like they were in their underwear running through the, you know, Central Park. And actually, we weren't in Central Park until the late 60s. But it was up in McCombs Dam right across from Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. And they'd run laps and laps of Yankee Stadium. That's where it all began.
And back then in the 50s, they were also the only people not smoking unfiltered cigarettes at the time.
Yeah, exercise.
Or maybe they were, but just at least during their runs, exactly. They weren't.
Exactly. So there's several pictures. They used to smoke as well. Little, you know, it wasn't about fitness then. It was about being fast. And now we've learned so much where we know running's so good for you, not only for your physical fitness, but for your mental fitness and emotional well-being, and they didn't know all that. They just wanted to be fast.
Were the 20 all former track guys, college
lots,
track guys?
Yes,
and,
all, yeah.
And so it could guys. Be any sport that they were doing. They were just continuing it on. Interesting.
You took over as the CEO of the New York Roadrunners Club, and you have made it part of your agenda to really broaden out running to incorporate even more women into the sport. In that spirit, what are you most proud of since taking charge?
I'm most proud of, first, I have the privilege every day to work with so many great people in New York City and Mayor Bloomberg's administration. They're so good to us. I'm most proud of our team that we work with on it. You know, I get to work with on a day in and day out basis. But I've got to say, there's no better inspiration of watching as we stand at our finish line, so many people of all shapes, all sizes, as I said, all men, women, you name it, and they work really hard to cross the line. So I'm most proud of our just being out there for them all the time. The new initiatives I'm most proud of is certainly our kids program. Today we have 50,000 kids running. Our goal is to have every child run as part of their school day. I'm very proud that we've been able to lift the sport of running. We hosted the men's Olympic trials here this past fall, and we are big proponents of the professional sport and believe very strongly that we have compelling stars and that entire sport and generations of kids to come are inspired by stars. That's some of what I'm most proud of, but I most enjoy working with our team on a regular basis and serving our runners.
You were a competitive runner back in the day, and you won the Marine Corps Marathon in 1988. Now, you were a lawyer. I mean, you still are a lawyer, but you had a different career track. Now, running is your life. How has your relationship with running changed, though, over the years?
It's so interesting. Today, I love running more than ever, and your relationship with running does change. And, you know, most people start running as an activity. And then it becomes a passion, and we work really hard to help it become a way of life for people, and it's become a way of life for me. Running began as an athletic pursuit. I used to row. I always played other sports, and I, too, was interested in being fast when I first started running. And I ran for competition and loved it. But it was for competition. And then as a lawyer, it was when I ran, it was for sanity.
Yep.
And, you know, to get out of the office and have that little bit of balance. And today, I love to feel strong and fit. But more than ever, it's emotional. It's just, it's such a great start to the day. And you have a leg up. And I think it makes me better in all my personal relationships and work relationships, just because you have that extra sort of lift that you get from starting the day in a way that you push yourself a bit, and it's quite fulfilling. And so I love it more than ever.
How do you amend that message when you're talking to someone who just doesn't get it, who's like, run, this is insane. You people are totally these A-type personalities who run in the rain, and it's just not for me. It sounds really hard and miserable and not fun, but you believe that running, anyone can run, and it can improve your life. But how do you convince them otherwise?
I really believe it's for everybody. The key is to get started and never, you know, what happens, even I remember the first time I ran, I went out too fast. I said, well, this is a miserable experience.
Yeah,
I'm not
this
doing
isn't fun.
This. So you have to just get out there and get started. Just go out today and start walking. Start walking and then incorporate a little bit of running. But the key, what should drive people to run is the secret ingredient here. It's all about helping people set goals. It started with mini goals. And then what they do is they will end up achieving goals in from the smallest steps to the largest steps when they might think they could never do it. And what that translates to, first of all, you walk away every day that much more fulfilled. But ultimately, it translates to everything else in life. And you realize, boy, if I can do this, then I can do everything else on that to-do list. And I can do everything else that I'm intimidated by. So it really has a way of pulling you in and affecting so much of your life. So get started and you feel so much better.
If running puts you in this frame of mind and gets you in this positive space, how do you explain the fact that Matt Martinez is such a miserable bastard?
Oh,
in the office?
Come on.
What would it be like if he didn't run?
Oh, I see. You have to compare him against the baseline.
Everyone's brilliant. Different.
Just the rigid taskmaster, drop and give me 20 type attitude.
You guys should see, I go running with him. We go out there and we finish and he reads me haikus.
He's a totally different guy.
He bakes me cupcakes after a run. It's transformative.
And then it wears off.
I was going to put you guys on the spot, though, and ask you, when did you start running, both of you, just real quick?
Well, my dad ran his whole life, and he got me into it. I ran the 100-meter dash in high school, and then I went to college and discovered beer.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple years later, I was just, this is horrible. So I started running. So I guess in the middle of college, I started.
Did you set the world record in the 100-meter 9.7? What was yours?
I was clocked once at 10.8, but I think that was the kindness of my track coach. I was generally in the 11s.
Ian's quite talented.
We know.
240 marathoner.
We know.
240. That's amazing.
I tell them I'm talented all the time.
Yeah, he does. So brags, constant bragger. And Matt Martinez?
It was pretty much the same kind of track. It was, you know, I did, you know, track and field in high school and then discovered cigarettes and beer in college and then, you know, gained lots of weight and decided, you know, this is not good and just started running about, you know, again, about 4 years ago, started doing half marathons.
No one asked me this, but I'm going to share with you how I started running. I lived in Japan and couldn't get anywhere. I didn't have a bike or a car. And so I realized that I could just run, like totally Forrest Gumped my way through this very small town in Japan. Just started running from point A to point B, and everyone stared at me and laughed.
And for me, it was when I was in the Berkshires and was chased by a bear. It lasted about 35 seconds. And I'm really thinking of taking it up again, or at least poking some more grizzlies. Black bears, to be fair.
New York Roadrunners Club CEO Mary Wittenberg stopping by to help us commemorate the 50th anniversary of the New York Roadrunners Club. Mary, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
And congratulations, you guys, on a race well run this morning.
Good job.